breathe you in, I lean into your love. Oh, your
y'all stand with us.
This is a good day. Jesus, your mercy. Oh, it is new for me. It is new for me. This is a good day. This is a good day. Jesus, your mercy, oh, it is new for me, it is new for me. Be praised, let our worship rise in this place to the King. Worship rise in this place to the King of love, 'cause you're always good, always good. This is a good day. This is a good day. Jesus, your mercy, oh, it is new for me. It is new for me. This is a good day. This is a good day. Jesus, your mercy, oh, it is new for me. It is new for me. Put your hands together. Let's sing. Be praised. Be praised. Let our worship rise in this place to the King of love. You're always good, always good. Be praised, be praised. Let our worship rise in this place to the King of love, 'cause you're always good, always good. How great, and we sing, how great. Glorious is the Lamb of God that was slain for us. He's the King of us. He's the King of us. One more time, how great. Let me sing, how great, how glorious is the Lamb of God that was slain for us. He's the King of us. He's the King of us. Worship rise in this place to the King of love, 'cause you're always good, always good. This is a good day. This is a good day. Jesus, your mercy, it is new for me. It is new for me.
How's everybody doing? Really excited. This is Pentecost Sunday. Turn around, find somebody you don't know, and tell them the Lord is going to do something. Let's stay standing. Don't sit down. Don't sit down. Oh, all right. Unless you're older than me. Just kidding. So here's the deal. This is a good day, okay? And we kind of sang it. The worship team sang it awesome. But we've got to carry this thing, you guys. This is the day that the Holy Spirit came and empowered the church. And from this place, it went crazy. You guys are excited already, I can tell. But nobody not singing. Sometimes we say, if you want to sing, great. If you don't want to sing, just, but nobody not singing. How's that sound? So they're going to do one more chorus on This Is a Good Day, and let's make sure we shout it out.
Be praised, let our worship rise in this place. To the King of love, because you're always good, always good. Wow, that sounds great. One more time, be praised. Be praised, let our worship rise.
Sounding like a church. A couple of things to let you know about. We have Indian Village coming up. Kids, Indian Village age, I don't care if they're your kids, your grandkids, or your neighborhood kids. Let's get these kids to Indian Village. It will impact their life in such a radical way for the kingdom of God. They come home not with just a great time, not the ropes course, all that stuff fun, shooting BBs and arrows at targets, by the way. And they come home with the love of God. They realize how much God loves them. And they come home singing songs. It's just the best thing ever. Sign up today down by the children's ministry. If you'd like to help a kid go to Indian camp, you can do a scholarship or whatever, but do that. And then we have family night taking place this coming Thursday. We're going to be across the street in the grass lots over there. We'll have lots of activities for all ages, not just kids, but adults. We'll have some activities. We'll have worship, devotional. We'll have lots of food. In fact, bring $5 if you want a Chick-fil-A sandwich. They're going to be here to do our food for us. And we'll provide the drinks and the chips and everything else. So plan on coming at 5:30. It goes till 7:30. So notice the time change just a bit. We're going to have a blast, you guys. It's going to be a lot of fun. This is a great time to bring people maybe that don't go to church, co-workers, neighbors, whatever, but come and join us for that evening. And then the women are having a night of worship. We're going to be giving you more details on that as time gets... Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about. You want to talk about people that sing. When this place is full of gals, woo, they go crazy. So let's continue to worship God. Would you pray with me in just a little bit? The ushers are going to come and receive the offering this morning our way, giving back a portion of what God has blessed us with to just do what we're doing here at Capo. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love. And we ask you to continue to fill this place and allow us to experience you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sing this with me.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living home. Your presence, Lord, I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. It's in your presence, Lord.
may be seated. you all stand with us?
After me, your goodness. Isn't it such a reassuring thing to know that the mercy of God chases after us every day of the week? If you're looking for him, you just got to turn around because he's chasing after you. Amen? You may have a seat. Well, it's great to be with you on this Pentecost Sunday. I will admit that I may have studied a little bit too much for today, but I will follow the clock counter, don't worry. But that's in part because my family came to me and said, hey, we want to go to Hawaii back home, you know, for several weeks. And my kids were like, yeah, we want to go for the whole month. And I said, well, no, but I can't work out my schedule. And then they looked at me confused and they said, well, you can just stay home. I wanted to come with you. And they said, it's okay, just a couple weeks, Dad. You meet us over there. But oh, my job, God, my job. So I've had a lot of extra time on my hands to not eat very well and study. So I've been reading a lot. And I'm really excited for today because we're closing our series on a very significant day in church history. That's Pentecost Sunday. We've been in a series entitled Help is Here. And we've been looking at the Holy Spirit and who he is and how he works in our lives. We started the series talking about the Holy Spirit being an actual person of the Trinity, someone that thinks and feels and wants to be active in our lives, that wants to be personable to us, not just a presence to find ourselves in, but a person, not just something, but someone, the Holy Spirit. And then we talked about that someone, that person is actually God, that he was there at the beginning of the creation of the earth, and he was there forming Jesus in the womb of Mary, that he's part of the Trinity, an equal part in power and purpose. And then last week, we talked about how it was that Holy Spirit that helped Jesus, that when Jesus came to do the task of giving his life for all humanity, he was empowered and helped by the Holy Spirit, giving us a picture of what life would eventually be like for us. We could have the same Spirit of the living God that thinks and feels and was at the beginning of all things, now resting and helping us. And that's what we're here to talk about this weekend. That help is not coming. That help is here. And that help wants to be within us, helping us. Now, the disciples had been with Jesus for a number of years, obviously about three, walking with him and being involved in his ministry. And Jesus did a lot of radical things, said a lot of radical things, and oftentimes was very misunderstood. To the point that even the religious system of the day that was comfortable for everyone came against Jesus. And as the disciples followed Jesus, when they would get discouraged, they still had the physical presence of Jesus to grab. I said, Jesus, would you sit down and explain this to me right now? And oftentimes he would speak to them, sometimes confusing them even more. But he gave them a confidence and assuredness knowing that they were on the right track because he was there to explain things to them. Well, eventually Jesus gets killed and then gets resurrected and then ascends to the Father. But now the disciples don't have him to run to. They don't have him in the physical flesh to kind of stand up for him. Or when they're feeling doubtful, they don't have Jesus to walk on the scene and then all of a sudden heal someone's blind eyes, which would have boosted their faith and their trust, but now he was gone. But he promised them a helper would come, that the Holy Spirit that empowered him would eventually come and in turn empower them. In the book of Acts, we have a scene where they're all gathered together in an upper room and they're waiting for this thing to come. And you can only imagine, what are you waiting for? And they're like, I don't know. He just said it's coming. And so someone has to run out and get food for everyone, and they're trying to get as whatever they can, as fast as they can, to get back because they don't want to miss the thing showing up. And they get back, and they're like, well, did the Holy Spirit come? I don't know. I don't feel different. Do you look different? I don't look different. Did you see anything happen? I don't know. Did it happen to Peter? Did it come to you? No, it didn't come to me. How about you, John? No, I don't know what's going on. We're just waiting. And so they're waiting, kind of hiding out, because now the society is trying to find them. We killed Jesus. Now we want to stop this movement altogether. And they're discouraged. They're hiding. They're waiting. They're wondering. And each day that goes by, you can imagine the pain of expectation, the doubt that was going up and down in the room, the why are we waiting, or we should be waiting. Then all of a sudden, completely unexpectedly, a sound of a rushing wind enters this room. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, all believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Now, what's fascinating is that this day in Jerusalem, Jews from around the known world were gathering because they were celebrating Pentecost. Pentecost is the Greek term for what the Jews would have called the Feast of Weeks, or more particularly, they were specifically in Jerusalem celebrating the fact that Moses received the law. So you have Jews from the known world, they're gathered in Jerusalem this day, they're celebrating that God came from heaven, met with Moses on a mountaintop, and gave him the law. Quite strategic of the Holy Spirit to show up on that day, to not give the law, but to give the power that which spoke to Moses and gave the law to begin with. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. And when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. And I'm thinking, what kind of sound is mighty and rushing that people run to? I would have ran away from the sound. I don't know about you, but if something crazy happens, I'm looking for my loved ones and I'm running the other way. But it was like something was divine about this sound. It was equated to like a storm or a rushing wind, but it was had to do with heaven. And so people come running towards the loud sound and begin to hear these believers speak in different languages. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans, and even the Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done." They stood there amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, "They're just drunk, that's all." Have you ever seen a drunk person even speak their own language normally? Let alone someone else's language? And we get this picture of the Spirit of God coming and almost redeeming something that happened thousands of years earlier at the Tower of Babylon. That when everyone spoke the same language and decided that they wanted to be their own God and God broke apart their languages and broke apart their unity, now the Spirit of God was coming to fix that. That despite their difficult languages, despite their different languages, they had an ability to understand what the Spirit of God was speaking through these different people. And it's a perfect picture of the power of the Spirit of God resting on people to begin to create order, to begin to help them walk as a new creation, to begin to understand who they were meant to be, how they were created, to give them ability to rise above their own individual strength, to become what God had wanted them to become. The Spirit of God arrived on that day and flowed through the disciples. Now, when I've thought about putting this weekend together, I realize that if I was to sit and explain to all of you everything that the Spirit of God does to help us, we would be here for weeks. And so I had to spend some time in prayer and say, "God, what are some things in particular that you want to share? Because I can't cover everything your Spirit does to help us." And then my time of prayer, I felt that God really emphasized four things that the Spirit of God does in my life, and the Spirit of God, I believe, wants us to inspire you this morning because he wants to be doing these things in your life. The first thing that I noticed is that at Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came, this group of people barged out the doors into the streets. That immediately when the Spirit of God came, as they barged out the door into the streets, the church began. That this idea of people working together by the power of the Spirit was something new, a new way to be Christians. And that their ability now to be believers together gave them the power by the Spirit of God to be comforted in the trials that they would begin to face. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to comfort us in our trials. Now, if you think of a legal form of a trial, that's definitely one way to be comforted. In fact, when we look at the Gospel of John, which I'll read in a moment, I'm going to reread a scripture we read a couple weeks ago, you'll see that Jesus describes the Holy Spirit in somewhat of a legal term. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. And Jesus used this word advocate. The Greek word here is parakletos. And that word is equally translated to be the word advocate or helper or comforter. But it's set within a legal scene. And the picture we get here is we're standing before a judge, ready to be condemned, ready to be told that we don't have any value, we're not worth the skin we're living in because we're sinners and we're just destined for death, yet this advocate shows up on our behalf and stands in the gap between the judge and us and says, no, I'm here because I have his back. And we get comfort in that trial knowing that we're not by ourselves. The Spirit of God is there to justify us, to make us righteous in that court, that we can walk out of that trial free because the Spirit of God is there to advocate for us, stand in the gap, help us, comfort us. But more than that, it's also about the trials in each of our lives. Anybody here ever go through a trial of a hard time? Not a legal trial. You don't have to raise your hand for a legal trial. We don't want to know. I don't want to know about that. You're all, oh, not legal. Oh, shoot. Never mind. I can remember a time in my life some years ago where I had had too strong a cup of coffee. In fact, a couple different strong cups of coffee. And was walking through Costco with my kids. And I've told most of you this story before. And I had a heart palpitation. And that heart palpitation turned into a bit of a nervous reaction on my behalf, because then I began to see spots. And I had a friend tell me recently that if you see spots, you're probably having a stroke. And so I started to panic a little bit. Panic a lot. And so I went home and laid down and put my feet up, and I did the worst thing ever. I went to Google. And I began to write down my symptoms, of which case I was clearly discovered that I'm about to die. And so I called my friend to take me to the ER. Don't look at Google for anything health related. So I get to the hospital, and once I'm there, they do a test on me, and it turns out I'm okay, but they want to keep me overnight. So the next day, I'm sitting in my bed, and I had just gone and done some extra tests, one of which was a sonogram on my adrenal gland to see if maybe it was misfunctioning or misfiring, whatever adrenal glands do. And I'm sitting there with my wife, and I'm waiting for the doctor to come in to release me. And as I'm sitting there, my wife's there next to me. We're talking about what we're going to do that day because it's Friday evening, and we're going to get the kids and go to the beach together. And the doctor comes in and says, Matt, well, you're ready to go, but everything checked out except we found something. And I thought, what did you find? He said, as they were sonogramming your adrenal gland, they had to start by finding your kidney to go find your adrenal gland. And when they looked at your kidney, they found a mass on your kidney. Now, at that point, I had never in my life ever been told anything was wrong with my health. And all of a sudden, I hear that I potentially have cancer. Of course, in that moment, I'm trying to relate that situation. My mind's racing to grab something, and I remind myself of a friend who'd also gone through something very similar, finding cancer on his lungs, Craig Whitaker. And so in that moment, as I get this information, I'm racing through all the emotions, trying to grab some understanding of what I'm going through, and then I'm starting to cry over the brokenness of realizing, what does this mean for me? My phone notification goes off. Well, I'm sitting there, doctor leaves, I'm still crying, my wife's there, like, I don't know, we'll figure this out. You know, I'm like, I don't want to tell the kids. She's like, it's okay, we'll sort this out. And I get up to distract myself, and as I go over to my phone, it's a text message asking me, hey, Matt, haven't heard from you a while, is everything okay? And guess who that text message is from? Craig Whitaker. That brought so much comfort to me in that moment because it was as if God knew I was going to be in that trial, and the Spirit of God prompted Craig to contact me knowing that that would comfort me in that moment. See, that's how God works. This church that broke out the doors empowered by the Spirit was going to be the community that the Spirit of God was going to work through to provide comfort for us. We spend all day long many times with people who are speaking to us by their human spirit, but the church is our chance to sit with people that will speak to us by the Holy Spirit. So we can be comforted. So we can be supported. So we can make it through our trials, because God never says he will remove the trial from us, but he says, I will help you in that trial. Not only does the Holy Spirit comfort us through our trials, the Holy Spirit also convicts us of our sin. John 16, verse 8, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit, and he says this, and when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. Now, I need to clarify something, because we're talking about conviction, not condemnation. Condemnation is that voice inside your head that says, you're not worth it to even be alive. You do so many dumb things all day long. Why would anyone be around you? Why would you have friends? Condemnation is the constant, heavy, guilty feeling of never measuring up, never doing what you should be doing, never being the better thing, never being good enough to get more than 100 likes on your Instagram posts. That's condemnation. It's this feeling of desperation, no hope. Death is my destiny. There's nowhere I'm going. Jesus did not come to condemn us. He came to save us. It says that in John 3:17. That we were already condemned in our sin before Jesus. We walked out of the garden as humanity. We decided to be our own gods. We set up the destiny of death for ourselves. So Jesus came and stepped in to save us from condemnation. So Jesus doesn't come into our life to condemn us, but the Spirit of God does now rest in us to convict us. The Jews were consumed with laws that they had to continually follow, never ever measuring up. Jesus came and said, I've saved you from your condemnation. Here's the only thing you need to do. Love God and love others. Everything of the Old Testament laws is summed up in those two things. And when the Spirit of God comes, that law will be written on your heart. And he will convict you at times to help you stay on the path of becoming a new creation. To help you understand, man, Lord, I got myself in this situation. I'm not sure how to get out. The enemy would step in and condemn you for it, but the Holy Spirit steps in and says, let me help guide you out of this. But you might need to let some things go. He might convict you of your pride in that situation. He might convict you of your need for justice that you need to let go and let him handle it. He might convict you of your need to numb your feelings with your addictions or relationships. He might convict you of your quick temper or your loose tongue. But the Spirit of God convicts us so we can walk into the new creation. He doesn't condemn us so we think that we should spend our whole lives underneath the ground. The Holy Spirit comforts us in our trials, convicts us of our sin, and the Holy Spirit confirms in us our son and daughtership. Romans 8, verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm or confirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share in his glory, we must also share in his suffering. Thanks, Paul. You could have left that last part out there. He always says something really good, and then he goes, but, and you're like, oh, dang. That the Spirit of God is meant to dwell within you to remind the intellect of your brain that you are a child of the living God. Why is that important? Because we spend all our days as ourselves trying to find things that make us significant. Whether it's the money we're trying to earn, the relationship we have, whether it's the family we want to start, whether it's the background that we come from, some of us have a more difficult time because we've come from an affluent family. Some of us come from a dysfunctional, broken family, but we always spend our lives trying to find the thing that makes us significant. But oftentimes, when we try to define our significance by what the world says, when trials come, we find ourselves tremendously disappointed because we lost our job and our parents went bankrupt and our dad cheated on our mom and it wasn't the marriage we thought it was and we had a mistake in our relationship and we have all these things that we sought significance in, but as those things broke apart, we found ourselves disappointed, discouraged, and depressed. But the Spirit of God saying, no, now I rest in you to remind you that that's not where you should find your significance. You should find it in the fact that you're a child of the living God. And he's not going anywhere. And he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. And he wants to make you a new creation. And he's designed you so you can flourish. And he's got callings for you and a gift for you. And that's where you should find your significance. And when we find our significance there, regardless of losing our job, changing the area we live in, broken relationships happening around us, people saying negative things to us, regardless of that, we still find joy. Because our significance isn't found in what the world says makes us significant. Our significance is found in that we are the children of the living God. And the Spirit of God rests in you to confirm that to you, to affirm that in you, and to remind you that that's who you really are. So his Spirit comforts us, convicts us, and confirms in us. And lastly, the Holy Spirit commissions us. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That when the Spirit of God rests within us, there's a power to walk like Jesus, and we are then sent into the world as people demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit. That we're the first to love. We're the first to exhibit self-control. We're the first to give mercy and extend generosity. That we begin to look different, not because of we find it in our own strength, because we have the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And we become a beacon of hope in our cities, our neighborhoods, our workplaces, our families. Because we're not bound by the things that we once thought made us significant. No, we're bound by the fact that we're the children of the living God, and we're commissioned now to bring the power of his Spirit into everything that we do. Because we're comforted by the Spirit of God in our trials. Because he convicts us of our sins so we know how to make our lives better by his power. Because he constantly wants to confirm in us that we are his children, and now he's commissioned us to live this new life to give people hope. Help is not on the way. Help is here. But here's the problem. If this was my life, I kind of spend all my life and I struggle in my life to constantly do things by my own strength, by my own breath. That in my own breath, I try to become that better person. I try to become that better husband. And what I do is I spend all day trying to keep my life above the water. Well, I'm going to spend this new year reading my Bible 5 times every week. Oh, I went to the third day and not reading my Bible anymore. Oh, I'm going to spend my year praying more. Oh, I'm too distracted with my kids screaming at me. I didn't get a chance to do that. Okay, now I'm going to try to be a better parent. Oh, man, I blew it again when I called him a bad word underneath my breath when I was trying to get him in the car. Oh, and all day long, we spend in our own breath trying to live this life, juggling. So, to the point that when the storms start coming, we can't do it anymore. Because we're doing it all in our own breath. And the storms come, we fall to the ground. We get discouraged, we give up, because everything's happening within our own breath. But I have some good news. No, it's not that I'm leaving. We have a new breath that we can have within us. And that breath is the Spirit of God. And if we choose to welcome him into our life, the breath of the Spirit of God wants to come and dwell in us. The breath of the Spirit of God wants to come and help us. And that while we do have our own breath, and we do have the things that make us human, now with the breath of the Spirit of God, we're always able to come above water. We're always able to stay up. We're always able to withstand the storm. Because when the storms start coming and start trying to push us down, with the Spirit of God, we always land right side up. This is the hope that we have with the Spirit of God. This is the encouragement we have with the Spirit of God. And you might say to yourself, Matt, that seems too good to be true. It is too good to be true. That's why Jesus had to come and do it for us. We have the choice every day to lean into our own breath or lean into the breath of God. We have a choice every day to make decisions according to my own breath or make decisions according to the breath of God. We have the decision every day to make this way or say this thing according to my own breath or according to the breath of God. The Pentecost is the celebration that we don't have to do things in our own breath anymore. Pentecost is a celebration that I have help now. Pentecost is the celebration that now there's a new power, a new will, a new purpose, a new calling in my life now. That Pentecost is the celebration that I'm not by myself, I'm no longer alone, I now have the Spirit of God dwelling within me. Pentecost is the celebration, not that help is on its way, but that help is here today. I want to take a moment and pray for you. Because I think we need to acknowledge that we want to live according to the breath of the Spirit of God. Now, when you accepted Jesus, you got it all. But oftentimes, it's kind of like that credit card in the envelope that's just sitting there until it gets activated. And we're not conscious of it in our lives. We're not conscious of who he is as a person, as God, as one who helped Jesus, and as one who wants to now help us. And so since we're in this season and celebrating the fact that help has come, I want to take some time and pray together. In fact, would you guys mind standing with me? Anybody here not want help? Yeah. If you do raise your hand, we're going to pray for you a little bit more. Actually, why don't you put your hands out? This is not a Matt thing, Craig thing, Dave thing, Capitol Beach Church thing. This is a Holy Spirit thing. So Holy Spirit, I ask right now that you'd fill our lives. Holy Spirit, I ask right now that you'd fill our lungs. Holy Spirit, I ask right now that you would fill our thinking, that you would fill our feeling, you would fill our doing. Holy Spirit, I ask right now that you would move in your power in our lives. Holy Spirit, I ask right now for some of us, we're looking for an experience. I pray you provide that experience for us right now. Holy Spirit, we're here to meet with you this morning. We're here to be encouraged by you this morning. We're here to be touched by you this morning.
Father, as we hold our hands out to receive, it's also a form of surrender, God. We want to let go of the things that we want to hold on to and control in our lives. And we want to receive that breath of life, that strength, that power that you promised. On this day, we celebrate the Holy Spirit. So, Father, as we stand here in your presence and as we worship with this next song, Father, would you do something in us? Would you fill us, Lord, with your presence, the Spirit of God?
Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven. Spirit of God,
atmosphere is changing now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around. And the Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere is changing now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love, your love.
Finished this four-week series on the Holy Spirit. One of the things that we felt really strong about is praying for people on this last one, this day of Pentecost. When we celebrate the fact that the Spirit of God came and filled this entire place with His presence and sent the church out of that upper room to affect the world to what we've seen today. And I know that Paul came to a couple of the disciples he found after Christ had ascended, and he asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said, we haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. And I think that's the case, that over these 4 weeks, this may be the first time several people in this place today are really new Christians, last four, five, maybe a couple weeks. But this may be the first time, you may have been walking with the Lord for a long time, this may be the first time you've heard a really in-depth study about the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit. And Paul said to them, after they said, we haven't heard about the Holy Spirit, then he laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, often in the New Testament, as the Spirit of God fills people's lives, it comes with the laying on of hands. Not always, but often it does. And in this case, it did. Many other cases that you can read in the New Testament. So I know there are people here today who have received Christ, who believe in Christ, and I know that when we receive Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to his disciples before he ascended, he said, he breathed on them, he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And they did. But they still went to that upper room. They still had that experience of the Holy Spirit coming and pouring out on, baptizing them, as you would say, just immersing them in the Holy Spirit. And all that Matt talked about today. So oftentimes, it takes sometimes the laying on of hands. And we want to do that for any of you who today have never really felt the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're not operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. When we finish this last song, we just invite you to come forward to the sides over here. There'll be leadership here. We'd love to pray for you. This is the one thing we love to do here is pray. The other thing is people here today, and I know because I've experienced it in my own life, there sometimes comes places and times in our life that we fall into this dry, kind of just like, is God still with me? Is the Holy Spirit still in my life and active? My excitement for reading the Word has kind of dropped off. My conversation with friends and family or strangers is not about the things of God anymore like it was when I first accepted Christ. I remember this as a personal experience. When I accepted Christ and then I received the Holy Spirit with a laying on of hands, it was just crazy. I loved to have so much joy and excitement. But I was going to the men's Bible study up on the hill when we were up on the hill. Saturday nights, every Saturday night, we'd gather, 35, 40 of us, and we'd pray and we'd worship a cappella. And we'd just worship and pray. And I found myself going and doing all the right things. I'd go to church every Sunday. I'd go to the men's prayer meetings. I would read, but I just felt a dryness. One night I was walking home. I only lived five doors away from the church. And I was walking home, and I had done all the things. I raised my hands. I was singing the songs. But I started walking home, and I felt dry. It felt just so dry. And I said, God, are you here? I mean, are you still with me? I mean, am I still going to be used in your kingdom? And I was serious, and I just felt empty. And all of a sudden, as I was walking home, I just felt something just come over me. I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. It really literally consumed me. And it brought me to tears, but at the same time, it was tears of joy. Because I said, oh, gosh, you still love me. You're still here. And every once in a while, we need a touch. We need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So if that's you here this morning, I also want to invite you up. We experienced last service, lots of people receiving a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So you've never invited the Holy Spirit, or you just feel that place of dryness, you want a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Do not go that way when we close the service. Please, come this way. God has something for you. He wants to do something for you on this Pentecost Sunday. It's an incredible thing God's doing in the life of this church. I also want to remind you that on your cars are the calendars. The reason there's new calendars is because there's new information. We made a mistake last week. So the old calendars you can throw away. Keep the new calendars, all right? But please, we're going to continue to worship, and I want to invite you forward. And leadership, if you'd come forward now, we'll pray.
When you fall,